The Old Testament reading for the 18th Sunday after Trinity is from Deuteronomy chapter 10. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart and love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples, as you are this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. This is the word of the Lord.
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Extol him, all peoples.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, in the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word. Nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" You may be seated. It's always a fun thing when things like what we hear on Sunday morning in the gospel reading or any of the readings line up with our adult catechesis class or any number of the studies throughout the week. And so today in our adult catechesis class after our second service, we're talking about the second article of the Apostles' Creed, which is about the person and work of Jesus. And the gospel reading today on this 18th Sunday after Trinity is confessing Jesus as fully God and fully man and one person. And for the Pharisees and those listening to Jesus in the reading, the call is to believe what Jesus says about himself, even as the scriptures testify to him. So what's going on? Well, we see Jesus do a bit of catechizing. And at first, it appears the Pharisees are the ones trying to drive the bus. However, really, we see that they're the ones along for the ride. Now listen again to the beginning of the reading. "When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together," literally synagogued together. "And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?'" Now, their question may sound innocent, but the mindset they are coming from is far from it. It's an important question they're asking, to be sure, but it was asked to put Jesus to the test. Or another way we could translate this is they are trying to tempt Jesus. And like we heard last week about Jesus healing the man on the Sabbath and then turning things around and asking them a question in return, the people were left speechless. Their plot had been foiled, and they were rebuked by the words of Jesus, and in their own silence, they showed their inability to justify themselves before the Lord. You're seeing a pattern here? What happens when you try to put Jesus to the test? So now the Pharisees wanted to know how Jesus interpreted the law of God and how he related to it. And there are hundreds of laws the Pharisees and Sadducees taught people must obey. Some estimates have it in the 300s or even 600s, any number of things. How far do you wash your hands? Any number of this stuff. So where did Jesus fit into this picture, these discussions that they were having? Because it was common that rabbis would expand upon God's law and provide a way where one could find the bounds of doing something or failing to do what had been required. We'll walk this many steps, but not one past that, kind of putting up a fence. And really, this is a hallmark of modern-day Judaism as well, especially among various Orthodox sects. You'll see this. Some Orthodox Jews will only be so far from their synagogue so that they can walk within the bounds of their man-made laws on the Sabbath day to get to their services or any number of things. But here, though, they want to know where Jesus stands because they want to know a way to rebuke and discredit his teaching. If we ask him a question, then we can find a way to know that, to show that he is wrong and that we're right. And so it's a straightforward question, but one that they think they can get a leg up on him. And so all of these laws that they have in their mind, they made and were more ceremonial in nature, but they assigned moral judgments to them. So they think they've put Jesus in a no-win situation. And they're going to come out with their chest puffed out, their heads held high, and they will be looking like righteous followers of their law. And so it's no surprise what happens then. Jesus doesn't fall into their trap. No, he answers their question. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So Jesus gives the answer God gives on more than one occasion, which summarizes the moral law, the Ten Commandments. Here are the two tables of the law. And in Deuteronomy 6, God gives his people the specific command about his law just after he tells them who he is, who their God is. And the people are to confess this daily in what is known as the Shema, from the first word in the Hebrew language of this passage. It functioned in many ways like a creed for them. God said in Deuteronomy 6, "Hear, O Israel," or Shema Yisrael, "the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." So God told and commanded his people to love him and to love their neighbors. Love is directed in both ways, toward God and toward other people. And these are the two tables of the Ten Commandments. Commandments 1 through 3 are the first table. Commandments 4 through 10 are the second table. And by the way, the one true and only God is the one who commands this to them. So Jesus, in a way, when he answers this, is referring them back to what? Their memory work. Now listen again to what happened next. Now, when the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, in the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. Now think about that one for a moment, what Jesus is asking them. They asked him a question, and he asked them a question in return. And it's an important question that Jesus asked them, and going from the commandments, they can only be understood and lived when one knows and understands this question that Jesus is asking. What do you think about the Christ? And their answer, for them, for the Christ to be the son of David, that doesn't upset them. They're not upset about that. But what does upset them, what they are scandalized by, is that the son of David is also the Lord. He is God in the flesh. And not only that, but this one standing before them, this one who they are trying to tempt, this one who's speaking with authority, this one who asked them this very question is who? God himself, the son of David, the Lord. So the Pharisees can't respond to Jesus, for really there's no refuting this. It's the truth. It's from God himself. They're left silent. They're unable to answer him, just as their opponents, the Sadducees, had been unable to do. They thought they knew better. They thought they could outsmart God. And even when they tried to trap Jesus, they are the ones who are left speechless. The Pharisees were trying to justify themselves by the law, but Jesus, in his rebuke, is teaching about something. What matters is his authority, not as a mere teacher of the law, but who he is in his very person. What matters is his authority not as just another rabbi, but what? The Messiah, the one who would be the son of David, but also the Lord himself, the one born of woman, yet uncreated, fully God in the flesh. The one who stood before the Pharisees, this one whom they were trying to tempt, is the one whom the Lord calls Lord. So Jesus catechizes them about who their God is, and it's him. So as we listen to this today and what Jesus is teaching us, we are called to love God above all things. Everything comes back to the first commandment when you look at your life. You shall have no other gods. That's a full stop. There's no exceptions. There's no loopholes. It's absolute. And this is God's law. The man-made laws of men create a false god. The Pharisees in the reading were trying to tempt God himself who stood before them. This man who is fully God is their Lord, just as David said by divine inspiration in Psalm 110, what Jesus quoted to them. The Pharisees saw Jesus, but they were not seeing. They heard him, but they were not hearing. And you know, a similar question is put before you today. What do you think about the Christ? Jesus asked you that question, but he does so even as he has given you the lips to confess and the very words to speak. And your answer, your response is done in the Holy Spirit, who has called you to faith through the Word of God, and you boldly confess you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, as St. Peter did in Matthew 16. And daily you're called to this confession. So take to heart what this means for you as you live out your vocations. So examine your life. God calls you to hear the Lord and his word. He calls you to confess your sin and turn from it. He calls you to not test him, but instead hear the word of God and keep it. Your Christian faith is that important in this life. So you are to think long and hard about these things as you look around you and you look at who is eternal and whose words are unchanging and do not lie. Because you're not just people of faith, and you don't just have faith, because that can mean whatever someone wants it to mean. No, there is something far clearer in who you are. God is personal. And Jesus is the Son of God and not some generic deity that can be molded and shaped into the flavor of the day. What do you think about the Christ? This is the Christian faith. And so on all this discussion in the reading today, take great comfort that Jesus is the Lord. He isn't some generic nebulous God who is unknowable, some spirit in the sky. No, Jesus is God in the flesh, who reveals himself to you through his word. He is the one prophesied and promised through David and through all the prophets. And trusting Christ, you see Jesus as the Lord who has accomplished salvation for you. He is the one who has fulfilled God's law completely and perfectly, as he has and does love the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and his neighbor as himself. This is the life, death, and resurrection of Christ for you. And you see the perfect love of God to and for you as you behold in faith your crucified Lord who has made atonement for your sin, who has appeased God's wrath against you by the shedding of his blood. And he doesn't leave you searching for his will. He doesn't leave you trying to wonder where you stand before him. He's risen from the dead, and you are righteous in his sight. And what a joy it is to hear these words, to hear that Jesus is the Christ, to know that God has silenced you so that he speaks the word, I forgive you. He is the Lord who has done all these things well and sits at the right hand of the Father and is with you and comes to you in his word and sacraments. What do you think of the Christ? Baptized into him, you give answer as the Holy Spirit has granted you the faith to confess, Jesus is my Lord. In the large catechism, Martin Luther preaches what this means for you, that the Lord is yours, your Lord, and teaches you how to confess this God in the world. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ, God's true Son, has become my Lord. But what does it mean to become Lord? It is this. He, Jesus, has redeemed me from sin, from the devil, from death, and from all evil. For before I did not have a Lord or King, but was captive under the devil's power, condemned to death, stuck in sin and blindness. The little word Lord means simply the same as Redeemer. It means the one who has brought us from Satan to God, from death to life, from sin to righteousness, and who preserves us in the same. But all the points that follow in this article, the second article of the Creed, serve no other purpose than to explain and express this redemption. And so humble yourself this day. Do not lean on your own understanding, for that will lead to death, and you will be one of the enemies under the feet of Jesus on the last day. Instead, repent and receive what your Lord has done as he delivers it to you in his word and sacraments. And by the Holy Spirit, through the gospel, go from this place. In faith worked by the Holy Spirit, love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. For this is who you are as a new creation in Christ. You know who the Christ is, and you know who you are as you are baptized into him. So don't try to pull one over on Jesus. No, listen to him. Trust him. Keep his word. Desire the things of God, yearning for his word and delighting in his commandments. Delight in living in faith toward God and in love toward your neighbor. Always give thanks for the Christ who is the Son of God. He is the Lord. He's your Lord. Salvation is found only in Christ, and he gives it freely to you. So rejoice, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus has done it. He's yours. Rest in his care and trusting in his mercy toward you as he is your crucified and risen Lord. And wait for that day to come. Know full well, too, that you are not alone, and the Lord is with you as the church of God. Your Lord is here. He's for you, and he will guard and keep you. And rejoice, you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.